This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good morning to you and yours. Bright and early, DCR with you, March the 10th, 2021. A lot going on today. Jordan Renan, bright and early. He'll join us at 6:30 this morning. Following that, little Stump Rothenberg at 6:45. Dan Graziano at 7:30. More Yankees injuries to get into. And Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge addressed the media yesterday. Guys, we have a lot to do on this typically bland Wednesday, but I'm excited for it, and the weather is wonderful right now. Good morning, Chris Canty. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. Get fired up. It's Stump Day. Get fired up, Dave.
I am fired up.
A little more energy, man.
I don't know how I could bring more energy. Rick, I felt like I have a lot of energy this morning.
This is, I can honestly say, this is the most energy I've seen out of you on a Wednesday since we started the new time slot.
That's right. I mean, listen, admittedly, I don't enjoy the Wednesday. Today, I feel like I have a lot of energy, and I might credit that to college basketball, because college basketball is here in full force. Gonzaga, undefeated going into the tournament. ACC, full force today. Big East, full force today. I love the college basketball.
Yeah, I can't wait to fill out the brackets, put Georgetown in there.
They're not gonna get in, unfortunately. Aminu Muhammad, baby. Unless they somehow rattle off win after win after win at the Big East tournament, they're not going to be playing in March Madness.
Well, I mean, you mentioned Gonzaga, too, by the way, and they're undefeated. But, I mean, they've won 23 straight by double digits.
And they trailed at half by 12 last night and came back and won by double digits.
That kid Jalen Suggs can play, man.
Yeah, and Kispert was the player of the year in the West Coast Conference. I was going to save this for later.
All right, no, bring it up.
I was going to save it for later because I think it's a great number. So if you bet $100 on every Gonzaga game this year, and they're, what, 26-0, right? I think.
Correct, undefeated.
Okay.
Yep.
So you bet $100 on the money line. So not on the spread, on the money line. How much money would you have won over the course of these 26 games?
Who?
$100 every game. Obviously, they're favored in every game. But on the money line, how much money would you have brought home after going 26-0?
I mean, this is a question that you're going to ask Canty and I, and we're both, I mean, this is, we're not in the same degenerative space.
I don't think it's degenerative. I think it's degenerate. But yes,
whatever you want to call it. I like to make my own words during the show, especially at 5 a.m. Just give me the number because I wouldn't even be able to guess.
I was shocked at the small amount. $231.
That's it?
That's it. That's how dominant and heavily favored they've been in every game. You would have won only to win 26 consecutive games with the money line, $231.
Wow, that's not even worth it.
Right?
Not at all. Not at all.
Isn't that amazing, though? I was shocked when I saw that last night.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's shocking. You're talking about, I mean, $100 a game, and I mean, if you get every single game right, which you would have, because
so you're laying $2,600, and in return you win $231.
Does not seem worth it,
right? Does not seem worth it. I would wholeheartedly agree. All right, so Dave Gettleman yesterday, and God, I hope I'm wrong. I really do. The more I hear him speak, the more concerned I get. I don't have any confidence in this guy, but he and the Giants are standing completely behind Daniel Jones and saying that he is going to be the future, the present quarterback of this organization. I wish I had the same conviction and confidence that they have.
Well, Dave, you're as loyal as your options, right? I mean, if you're the New York Giants right now, what's your alternative to Daniel Jones? you don't have one. So, I mean, you have no choice but to back him going into year three. And I think this is a huge year where he's got to answer a lot of questions. They're going to do everything that it takes to support him properly to see if they can answer whether or not he's their franchise guy moving forward. But in terms of this particular offseason with free agency in the draft, the Giants don't have any other viable options. So Dave Gettleman had no choice but to come out in support of his quarterback, and the same with Joe Judge. But with what Dave Gettleman said, it doesn't necessarily sound like a ringing endorsement.
No, it's not a ringing endorsement at all. But, I mean, what would you expect him to say at this point, Dave?
I guess. I just, you know what? I figured at this point, going into this season, this is Gettleman's what? Is this his fourth year now?
Yeah. Probably one yeah, it is his fourth year. It's his fourth year.
Too many for you. I know.
I mean, listen, I think I'm being fair. I thought we would be further along. I mean, I think there are still a lot of questions surrounding the Giants. You have a big question at quarterback. I think the offensive line still has a lot of questions, right? You like the coach, but guys, I mean, there's a lot of question marks surrounding this team right now. And year four, you should be further along than you are right now.
I don't think we disagree with you. I mean, you would expect them to be further along. I just don't know how much the initial decision when you hired Dave Gettleman that first year, what he was asked to do with Eli Manning. I don't know how far that's. I mean, that clearly set you back. I mean, that listen, I mean, we talked about it at the time. I mean, Eli was definitely at the end of it.
It was a hindrance. It was a very difficult situation that was not handled well.
Well, and it's not easy, right? I mean, but this was a couple years in the making. I mean, go back to when Ben McAdoo was the coach. And it wasn't, I mean, he did not have much success, but he was the same guy that said, we should draft Pat Mahomes because he saw the end was near.
Mm-hmm.
So you said no to that. And then on top of it, when you hired Dave Gettleman, you decided to draft, and Saquon Barkley is great. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to get attacked. Saquon Barkley is great, but you had the second overall pick, and Eli clearly was on his way out the door. It was not the time to take a running back with the second overall pick.
Not at all.
Is it ever though?
No, it's. I don't think it ever is, Dave. And we don't have to fire up that whole debate. But Rico, you're saying that Saquon Barkley is great. I mean, how great is he if Dave Gettleman is saying that it's a question mark on whether or not we're going to exercise his fifth year option? I think that in and of itself tells you that, you know, in hindsight, that might have been the wrong decision to make based on where the Giants are at and based on what you had been seeing from Eli Manning and the way that he had been trending. I mean, this organization passed on the opportunity to draft Josh Allen. They passed on the opportunity to draft Lamar Jackson. Both of those guys we've seen play at an MVP level in their first 3 years. So I don't understand right now any of the question marks in terms of whether or not Dave Gettleman has been good at his job. To me, he hasn't been. Like, you can point to a couple of free agent signings that he's made, a trade with Leonard Williams. You can say, okay, those were smart moves. But for every smart move that Dave Gettleman has made, I'll show you one where you're scratching your head saying, maybe that was a big mistake and maybe that set the franchise back a couple of years. Like, with Daniel Jones, I think this is the opportunity for Dave Gettleman, if he gets this one decision right,
yep,
to cement his legacy. But guys, that is very much in question right now, and I don't know that Daniel Jones is going to be your guy. And if Daniel Jones doesn't go out and have a great year, then not only do you have a question mark about who your quarterback is going to be moving forward, I think you have a question mark about who your general manager is going to be moving forward too.
Yeah, see, I don't even think you have a question mark, right? I mean, if this year Daniel Jones is bad and doesn't live up to what you're hoping for, I think they're both gone. I think the quarterback is gone, and I think the GM is gone, and I think you start fresh after a 4-year rebuild that would be almost back to square one.
Well, I don't disagree with you. I mean, if Daniel Jones, like, they get the coach right. Let's give him credit for that. I mean,
yes.
Joe Judge seems like the right guy, right? So we all like that. But, I mean, Chris, you're not wrong. I mean, as far as, you know, some of the draft picks that he's made, I mean, have not been good draft picks. The DeAndre Baker fiasco, moving up to
moved
draft
up.
Him.
He moved up into the first round to get Baker.
No, I know. So, I mean, yeah, there's been a lot of swings and misses. And I think the saving grace for Dave Gettleman, if he wants to stick around and be this GM, is his last hope is Daniel Jones. That's it. I mean, no one – he always says, I'm in full bloom love. And I remember the day when they drafted Daniel Jones with the sixth overall pick with another Josh Allen sitting on the board. I actually giggled to myself because I was like, Dave is going to break his television. And
I was so upset.
Well, he took a risk. Well, what do we always say, right? It may not be the right choice, but if you love – Chris always says it. If you love the quarterback, don't mess around with it. Don't try to get too cute. And Dave Gettleman said, you know what? I'm not going to get cute with this. This is the guy I want. So he better hope like hell it works out, because if it doesn't, he's going to get fired.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here he is yesterday, Gettleman in all his wisdom, saying that Daniel Jones clearly the guy for the Giants.
Well, you do your evaluation. We've had Daniel for 2 years. We've done the evaluation on him, and we really believe he's the guy. So it's no reason to, no reason to go look. I mean, everybody, what we're doing isn't fantasy football. We're not playing. We're not doing that. You know, we've got a conviction on him. He's everything we want. He's got all the physical skills. And again, I say this all the time. You know, the kid just finished his second year of NFL football. All right. How many of us, after 2 years at our new job, were great? No. We all start at point A, and we hopefully get, hopefully get to point Z. But the one common denominator is it takes time. Everybody's got to understand that. We believe in Daniel, and that's where it is.
Boy, I really have a problem with that. Look at that. Forget about people at their jobs. Look at NFL quarterbacks. For the most part, guys, don't you have a pretty good idea after year two whether or not that guy is going to be able to be a quarterback in the NFL?
In today's NFL?
Unfortunately,
listen, Dave Gettleman, he may be, I don't know if he's, some of the things he says too, as far as I was reading some of, and we'll have Jordan on today, some of his comments about how you want to structure contracts, mm-hmm. and you want to keep it, and if we sign a 3-year, $45 million deal, you'd like it to be $15 million, $15 million, $15 million, which is not today's, the new age GM, they don't look at the same that way.
No.
I mean? Like, that's the old school way of looking things. And what the reality now with the quarterback position is, because it's such a luxury to have your quarterback on the rookie deal, is you don't have that much time anymore. Like, rubber meets road. After year three, you got to make a decision on the fifth year option, which is fully guaranteed, fully guaranteed, period.
And you'd like to be able to know whether or not that's your guy so you can start working on an extension. That way it's a little bit cheaper and you don't end up in Jerry Jones, Dak Prescott territory.
In all the teams, RJ did a great job this morning on the rundown list of mm-hmm. quarterbacks. And Chris and I will always say this till we're blue in the face. There are only, the word generational gets thrown around way too much. But, there are only a certain amount of players, I don't care what the position is, that you can put them in any situation and they're going to be great. The quarterbacks that he has on this list, were put into it as young players into really good situations and developed the right way.
Yep.
Like, Mahomes was put in an unbelievable situation with the perfect coaching staff, with a ton of talent. That's a playoff team. Lamar Jackson, Baltimore, put in a great position. They built the entire offense around him. Russell Wilson, same thing. Like, you go down the list. Unfortunately, Daniel Jones has not had that same luxury where he's surrounded with a ton of talent.
You're right, but I still will bring up guys that, look, Joe Burrow. I watched Joe Burrow year one, and I thought to myself, this guy has it.
Yeah,
right?
Don't put Joe Burrow and Daniel Jones in the same conversation. Joe Burrow had the greatest
season
in the history of college football.
But this guy comes out and says very few quarterbacks after year two or very few people in their lives for their careers at all, do you know that they're really good? And I think that's not true.
Yeah,
I knew after year two that Dak Prescott was good. I knew after year two that Deshaun Watson was good. I knew after year two. Go through the guys in the NFL. After 2 years at the quarterback position.
Time out. See, but you keep making the same mistake. Don't go through a list of quarterbacks that get put into situations where the team around them is great. That team was ready-made that Dak Prescott took over. That team was built for Tony Romo to win a championship. And unfortunately, Tony Romo got hurt.
Herbert?
But you keep saying, Daniel Jones is probably not, I'd be willing to say that Daniel Jones is not at that level.
Mm.
There's tiers of how good each player is going to be.
So you want to put Daniel Jones in a conversation with guys like Mitch Trubisky and with Josh Rosen and with Sam Darnold, those types of quarterbacks
situations.
But Dave, that's what I'm saying. Those are terrible situations to be put in. And I think that's to Rick's point. Like, Daniel Jones hasn't been done any favors by the Giants. But with that being said, you still like to see the quarterback flash a little more consistently than Daniel Jones had. And at the very least, hang on to the football. Daniel Jones in his first 2 years has had 39 turnovers. 39. How can you survive with your quarterback averaging 20 turnovers a season?
You can.
So at some point, that's got to change, and that's on him. You could try to say, well, the offensive line is bad, or he doesn't have the weapons or the difference makers to be able to support him properly, but your quarterback has got to be able to take care of the football. Like, that's requisite for the position. That's bare minimum. And Daniel Jones hasn't shown the ability to consistently do that. Now, he's trending in the right direction the last eight games of the regular season in 2020. But, I mean, again, we got to hope that that's who he's going to be moving forward and not the guy that we saw through his first 24 games.
But this is what happens, though, because all of a sudden, Dave Gettleman takes this guy with a sixth overall pick and the expectations go through the roof. I mean, is Daniel Jones, was Daniel Jones going to ever be good enough to live up to the sixth overall pick? I mean, the way it's trending, probably not.
No.
It's probably unfair expectations. Will he be a good quarterback? Yeah, I think he'll be a good quarterback if he can solve the whole turnover thing. I mean, you saw the flashes in the rookie season. He threw for 24 touchdowns in his rookie season, and everyone was excited.
And he flashed more in his rookie year than he did in his second year.
Again, but now all of a sudden, new coaching staff. I'm not going to make excuses, but these could be reasons. New coaching staff, new system, no regular offseason, no preseason games, completely revamped offensive line, which wasn't very good. Andrew Thomas wasn't very good. Like, I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for the guy, but I can understand some of the reasons why he didn't have as good a season as we all expected. But the Giants did what Buffalo did for Josh Allen and got him Steph Diggs.
Here's what I'll say, though. They better this offseason, and you better see a legitimate improvement in Daniel Jones from year two to three. Because if you don't finish year three and say, okay, you know what? We were 7-9. We missed out on the postseason, but I know we have our quarterback. If you don't have that after year three, then you are lost after year three with Daniel Jones.
Yeah, but you'll be where the Jets are at.
That is a scary
nobody wants to be
Dave.
There. Nobody.
But your team, but unfortunately, your team may be good enough because your defense is pretty damn good, where you don't have the luxury of having the second overall pick in a draft that's not great with quarterbacks.
Yeah, you're right.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We have confidence in Daniel Jones. I think that's the opening salvo here on DCR. Only three phone lines are working today, guys. So if you want to get involved in the conversation, you better call immediately, because only three phone lines all show long will in fact be working. You say, well, why? Apparently, the other three have been canceled.
What's going on with this new studio?
What?
Yes. Have been canceled.
Wow. Wow. You can't make this stuff up, Dave.
But here's what I don't understand. Apparently, they were canceled during the K show.
No, you understand it.
No, I don't. I understand that the mistake happened. The phone lines were canceled. But what I do not understand is why they're not reestablished now and fully functional.
They're probably going to ask us to pay for it. Or they'll say, yeah, listen, we don't have phone lines anymore. We're going to need you guys to give out your cell phone numbers. And that's how we're going to do it.
And then just hold your
phone,
speaker up to the microphone.
Exactly,
and let
right.
people talk that way.
Yes.
And make sure they're not on a delay, because if they're on a delay, you're going to get in big trouble.
Yeah, more personal connection. Now everyone's got your cell phone number. That way we can communicate. Just another extension. We got the social media. We got the Instagram. We got all sorts of videos we're posting.
Oh, how about that video yesterday you put out? And you can watch Rick's video anywhere at DCR on ESPN. What a video you put out yesterday.
I have no idea where that picture came from.
I don't like this open flirtation, Dave. I don't like it at all. I don't like it.
You want to go to that show. No. I understand. You love Michael. And I don't even think you love Don and Peter. Like, you love Michael, and because of that, you want to go on that show.
I feel like at some point someone's going to have to step in and defend Michael. Because this has turned into Don and Peter just attacking him every single day.
Well, what's up with Michael attacking Dave every single day? Like, every chance he gets, and including yesterday, Michael Kay taking another shot at our very own Dave Rothenberg.
And you were bothered by this,
yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, I had to take to the Twitter.
I can tell you don't like it.
I had to take to the Twitter, Dave, because I don't like somebody taking a shot at my teammate. It's different when Rick and I sit here on the show and we take shots at you, because you're our guy. But when somebody from another show, you know, starts, you know, taking jabs at our guy, we got to defend him.
Well, I appreciate your defense. I'm sure Rick won't come to my defense.
No,
right,
stop
Rick?
It. I like the tweet. Ask Canty. I liked his tweet.
He did like the tweet.
Okay.
That's what I'm talking about. He's just lashing. Kay loves you, Dave. He's just lashing out.
Why? What is the rationale behind this?
Because his co-hosts attack him. It doesn't matter what Michael says now. Don will disagree with everything he says. Michael was like, you know what? Coming to America 2 was fine. It was good. It wasn't great. And Don's like, I give it 3 out of 5.
But isn't that the same review? Good, not great is pretty much 3 out of 5, no?
It doesn't, but it does not matter at this point. Anything Michael will say Don will go out of his way to disagree. And then Peter comes out of nowhere. Like, all of a sudden, like, baseball talk, Peter, like, the mannequin of Peter will come to Weekend at Bernie, Peter comes alive, and all of a sudden he wants to take up for Don.
So apparently Michael took major shots again at me yesterday. You say it's out of love, Rick. I don't know how I could take it like that. Let's take a listen. Here he is.
Howard Stern and Beth, Rick Ocasek and Paulina, Lyle Lovett and Julia Roberts, Prince Charles and Lady Di, and number one, Billy Joel and Christy Brinkley.
I'm glad we were able
to get everybody incorporated in that.
I have one more.
But a fun one.
Dave Rothenberg and Sherry Rothenberg.
Wow, good one.
You know what? I can't disagree.
I'm just happy you said Dave's name.
Listen to that. I mean, what am I supposed to do with that?
Well, that's your guy Don, too. I mean, you got Don didn't stand up for you.
Well,
he completely agreed.
It doesn't bother me. Because I look at it as, I mean, I win. If you guys think so lowly of me, you think I'm like, you know, Quasimodo here. I'm pathetic. I'm humpbacked. I'm a disgrace to vision. And I was able to, at a point where I had no money, no prospects, nothing, I was able to marry this vision of loveliness. Who's the bigger winner than me?
I don't think anybody. I think just people look at the relationship and they're left scratching their head.
But why?
I asked the same thing about you. You guys do the same thing with me and Michael. I can't explain it. It just happens. I don't know why Sherry fell in love with you when she's got George Clooney, I mean, and Jimmy Fallon hitting on her, and she chooses you that leaves the family when the Giants lose.
She didn't know that. Well, I was going to leave the family at that point. But yeah, no, it's a valid point. How about my grandmother, by the way?
Here we go.
How about this? I don't know if it was the day of the wedding or after we got engaged. She goes to Sherry. She goes, listen, he's a great guy. But just make sure you really love him, because he's probably never going to have all that much money. My grandmother says that. Like, I have nobody. Like, it's one thing for you guys to take shots at me, Kay to take shots at me, but my own grandmother took shots at me.
I don't know if that's a shot. I think she did you a solid. Like, I mean, that's your grandmother looking out for you. Like, hey,
set the expectations, Rico. Relatively low. Yeah,
this isn't like Sherry's not drafting you with the 6th overall pick when people are like, I'd probably take a middle of the round. She knows exactly what she's getting herself into. She doesn't want to listen. She just wants to let Sherry know, hey, what you see is what you're going to get. Like, Dave he's a little off. And on top of it, he's probably not going to have a lot of money. So if you're willing to sign up for that, then this is your guy.
Little did she realize what a success I would become at some point. Now, I probably shouldn't even tell you this story.
Yes, you should.
But whenever I say I probably shouldn't tell you, then I think that it's demanded that I tell you this story. how about this, by the way? So I'm dating Sherry for, I don't know, not long, maybe a month, month and a half, and one of her best friends goes to her and says, listen, he's unbelievable. This is the greatest guy I've ever seen. If you're not serious about him, would you step aside so I can have a chance?
Wow.
Yes.
Dave Rothenberg in demand.
True story. And Sherry says, no, there is no way I would ever leave his side. He is my forever guy. How about that?
Now, how much did you pay the best friend to say that?
No, it's legitimate.
It's legitimate.
I swear.
So she just kind of gravitated towards you.
Listen, I told you guys that I had my temperature taken in my bottom for you. Like, I'm not lying. I'm being completely honest. I'm an open book. I tell you everything. Her best
I am thermometer boy right now.
Best friend, and I'd met her a couple times. She's like, he is amazing. If you don't really feel serious about this guy, I would like to get involved.
I don't know why you wouldn't revisit that. I mean, why not invite her in?
Thruppling? Is that what you're looking for?
A little thruple.
Yeah, no.
Women are sketchy like that, though.
Like that kind of party.
Right now, like men? No, I would definitely like that kind of party. Listen, men would never do that to friends. Like, that's bro code.
You're violating. Yeah.
But for some reason, women, like, when they see, like, one of their friends being treated really well by a man, it's like, there was a comedy sketch about this. It's not, I would like a guy like that. It's, I want that guy.
Yeah.
And the best friend was like, look at this Dave Rothenberg.
I'm a commodity.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're a franchise tag, I mean, more like skin tag kind of guy. You ain't going nowhere.
No. I'm great with vendors. I had the franchise tag, you know, placed on me.
Which is amazing still.
From early
mind-boggling.
Exactly. Thank
oh
you,
my
Joe.
Gosh.
From early on. I don't know why you find this so hard to believe. I'm a tremendous catch. Would you say I'm a nice guy?
I think you're a terrific guy.
Yeah,
do
you're
you
a great
think
guy.
I have a good brand of humor and am a funny guy?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you find me to be witty and entertaining?
Yes.
Do you find me to be a bright individual?
Yes.
You're checking a lot of boxes, Rothenberg.
So, All right, so then there you go. Do you think I'm honorable and typically try to do the right thing?
Yeah, but what we're missing here is like the whole emotional aspect of this, which women really need is like the emotional part.
But everybody has baggage, no?
No, I mean, you have quite a bit of baggage.
Yeah, I smashed the treadmill through the blind, through the window.
I travel like Imelda Marcos. Yeah, no, I have a lot of baggage. I'm like Lovey Howell. Are you going to check those bags? Yes.
Can we take a quick second? Can we take a quick second too to congratulate RJ Santillo? This doesn't happen very often. This Buffalo Sabres actually had a point last night. Congratulations, RJ.
Hockey's fun.
But Jack Eichel's now going to miss extended time, I saw.
Let's do that hockey.
This guy can't catch a break. His team's so bad.
They are terrible.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
I just tweeted out a photo from our wedding. Rick, have you seen this photo?
No, I haven't seen the tweet yet.
I look at the tweet. I got to be honest. I look terrific.
You look like you.
I look terrific.
Yeah, I mean, you look good. I don't think you look much different.
No? I don't understand where this comes from. I'm a bad-looking guy. I'm not a bad-looking guy.
No, you're not a bad-looking guy. I actually think you're borderline handsome, especially when I bake in the personality and everything else, the charm, the wit, the sports knowledge. I mean, you're great. I just think when you look at the picture, clearly, and this is no offense to you, I mean, Sherry is on a different level than you.
How can
which is a compliment.
I don't understand, Chris. Isn't that offensive, though?
No,
to say
that your significant other is better than you is offensive.
Dave, it's not offensive because she's with you. So if your arm is strong enough to keep Sherry by your side, then, I mean, that's a compliment to you. You must be doing something right.
People look at you and are jealous of you. Like you, I mean, you outkicked your coverage.
No question about it.
No one expected that.
No question about it.
Thanks, guys. You guys are the best.
No question about it.
Greatly appreciate it.
Don't ask why. Just be happy. She loves you. She chose you. You guys are happy together. And even you'll admit, I mean, she's better than you. You know it.
She's better than me.
She's fixing dryers. She's putting treadmills together.
She is better than I am, yes. She's a better person.
She was put on this earth to make sure that Dave Rothenberg survived.
you're not wrong. All right, let's get to Joe Judge, who is also better than me. I think most people, in fact, are. And here's Joe Judge, and he is very defensive of the quarterback yesterday during his little media session. Here you go.
We have confidence in Daniel. He's a player that we want to work with going forward this team. He showed us a lot of improvements, a lot of things. I go on and on about how much we respect them and like them and, you know, how their locker room responds to them.
Listen, I don't know. I hope to God that he turns out to be good. I have my question marks right now about Daniel Jones.
Listen, man, the intangible stuff, being good in the locker room, being great in the community, that only matters if you're getting the production on the field. If you're not getting the production, then, I mean, you have to evaluate it and say, you know what, maybe we have to find a quarterback after this season. That's why it's going to be such a big year for Daniel Jones, and the Giants have to get him a number one wide receiver. They got to take care of that piece of business just so you can find the answer of whether or not Daniel Jones is capable. Like, you have to be able to figure that out. In order for the Giants to be able to do that, they've got to make some moves with their salary cap, maybe get Leonard Williams locked up to a long-term deal before free agency starts, maybe restructure a couple other contracts.
Which is next week, right?
Yeah, maybe cut some guys. So they've got some stuff they've got to do in the next calendar week in order to free up the resources that they're going to need to put the supporting cast around Daniel Jones and set the stage for him in 2021. But make no mistake about it. This upcoming year, this is all about figuring out whether or not you got a quarterback.
Because let's look at what's around him now, Rick. Do you trust the offensive line? I don't think you do.
I still think
that they need to somehow fix this thing up better than it's been. Do you trust your wide receivers? No. So, yeah. I mean,
time out. You have a Pro Bowl tight end. I mean, relax.
Stop it. Really, really. Can you please? I mean, what on this offense do you look at? And you have a running back who's really good, who's coming off a devastating knee injury.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but I think Saquon Barkley, I mean, he's a specimen, man. He'll be back. He'll be fine. And now all of a sudden you add in the fact that, you know, Jason Garrett's calling quarterback runs and, you know, RPOs and everything else. I think that's only going to make Saquon Barkley better. But Saquon Barkley would also benefit by having a legitimate number one wide receiver.
Yep.
I mean, it's going to help everybody. Here, you're not going to want to hear this, and you're going to jump down my throat when I say it. But, I mean, have a little patience.
No. No.
I mean, how long
do I have to have patience for? This is ridiculous.
It's been a year. It's
once in the last decade.
But it's been a, listen, I'm not saying have patience with the team. Because they've systematically turned themselves into the Jets. I'm saying have a little patience with the quarterback. I mean, put some context around what he was asked to do in the situation that he was put into. I mean, he's drafted sixth overall, which is probably too high, which is already too much pressure for this kid. He shouldn't be having to deal with this much pressure. On top of it, he's replacing a legend. He's replacing Eli Manning, right? And he did a hell of a job doing that.
I mean, yeah, Rico, you're not wrong, but here's the thing, man. You can't divorce the expectations from the draft position. The kid was taken with a top 10 pick. So, I mean, the assumption is that he's going to show more than what DJ has shown in his first couple of years. And I'm sorry, the one thing I can't get past is all the turnovers, because that's somewhat within his control. Like, at some point, he's going to have to get beyond that. And the fact that it's going into year three and we're still talking about it, like, that's a problem. He's got to fix it.
It's a major problem. It's a major problem. And you say be patient. Okay, Rick, this is year three now. I mean, at the end of year three, I have to know. How can I be patient heading into year three?
Dave,
I need answers?
Dave, let me put this into context with the turnovers for Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones has 39 turnovers in 2 years. 39 turnovers in 27 games.
Okay.
Sam Darnold has 46 turnovers in 3 seasons. 46.
Yeah. And I'm not looking to be Sam Darnold either.
Exactly. But all I'm saying is we're talking about the Jets needing to move off of Sam Darnold after 3 years and all the mistakes and the poor play and the lack of production. Daniel Jones ain't that far behind. He's just not. So I know everybody wants to say, we trust Daniel Jones. We feel like there's more upside with Daniel Jones. And that may well be true with this current team. But Daniel Jones still has a hell of a lot of show and prove in order to establish himself as the franchise quarterback for Big Blue.
I don't disagree with either of you, because I'm in that same situation now with Sam Darnold, and we're all left. I mean, as bad as his numbers have been, I mean, he had 9 touchdowns last season, all the turnovers and everything else, can't stay healthy. There are still people that will call in and say, we should keep Sam Darnold, because this new coaching staff.
A lot of people feel like that.
Well, yeah, because you don't really know, because there's really no clarity because of how bad the coaching staff was and the pieces around him haven't been good. So you're still left wondering. Like, will he live up to his potential? Right now, all he is potential that needs to be unlocked.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. So you need to know. I agree with you. So you really can't afford to be patient. I just feel bad for the kid.
I think he's a great kid. I've been wonderful, and I want him to succeed.
But I've been in this situation before. Like, I mean, the reality of my situation was Mike Milbury shouldn't have drafted me with the first overall pick. He shouldn't have. They already had Roberto Luongo, but the second he did that and decided to give me number one, expectations were through the roof.
Right, and do you think people care? Do you think people say, oh, you know what, poor Rick DiPietro was drafted number one overall into a situation that wasn't fair for him? Or do you think people say, you know what, go win hockey games. Stop the puck.
Okay, that's what they say, and I'm not speaking as a fan here. I'm not giving a fee. You're giving the fan perspective. I'm giving you the player perspective and the amount of pressure you feel in this situation. And he hasn't been dealt a great hand.
No.
I agree with Canty. The turnovers have to stop. Like, at a certain point as a young guy, and it takes you a while to realize this, like, you do need to be selfish to a certain degree. Like, if you're on a bad team, you got to make sure you take care of your own business so people aren't left questioning if you're good or not. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be those games where you're losing. You know, rather than take the chance to throw an interception, you're like, no, I'm going to keep this one in my pocket because I don't want to get criticized for throwing an interception.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are things you learn as you get older, and that's something he has to learn. But, I mean, you have, again, this kid's going into... That's why I said they were turning themselves into the Jets. He's going into his second year, which is the most important year. We've seen it. RJ had a list of all the quarterbacks that take that huge step in year two. But now all of a sudden he's got the pandemic to deal with. He's got a new coaching staff with a new system. He's got a new offensive line. He's got no Saquon Barkley. He's got no number one wide receiver. Your Pro Bowl tight end can't really catch that well. I mean, I don't know how he's a Pro Bowl. He can't catch that well.
Oh.
So you know what I'm saying? Like, it has not been ideal for the kid. And I like him a lot because I think he's made of what it – his demeanor is exactly the kind of demeanor you need to play in this market.
Yes, I would agree with that. And what the Giants have to do is take away all the excuses as to why he can't succeed.
That's right.
In 2021. Like,
but
Rick, Rick, you just ran down the list in 2020 of all of the different things that were up against him. The Giants have to eliminate as many of those excuses as they possibly can so they can make a true evaluation on what the kid is going to be. They have
totally.
to.
Totally. Yeah, but that's a lot. I mean, the offensive line still needs to be fixed. I still don't think it's right. And you have to add at least one, if not two, legitimate weapons in the passing game.
I don't think the offensive line is as far off as we're saying it is. I like what Andrew Thomas showed in the second half of last year. Shane Lemieux was a revelation. Matt Parrott played well when they inserted him in the lineup. I mean, this offensive line, it's not great. But it's not anywhere where it used to be the previous five or six seasons. Like, it was a disaster over that span. Like, the offensive line was serviceable. They were middle of the road. So, I mean, that group was relatively young guys. They're going to continue to grow and get better. I'm not as much worried about them as I am about the weapons that Daniel Jones has to work with.
You'll be able to run the football, especially with Saquon back.
You right? would have figured
and I think
you would,
Chris
yeah.
is. I think Chris is right. Regular offseason. They always say continuity for an offensive line is the biggest thing. So they've had a year together. They'll continue to grow. The only thing that sucks for you, Dave, as a Giants fan, is you would imagine being as bad as you've been, and we talked about this yesterday, Daniel Jones on a rookie deal, is that you'd have more money.
I still don't understand how they don't.
And this would be a perfect time. When you start looking at the amount of, I mean, Joe Thuney comes to mind. Like, there's going to be good, really good veteran
yes.
players available.
Mm-hmm.
All
like,
over
this
the
is the time. To have money.
And you're not going to be able to do anything with it because you're going to have to pay Leonard Williams, and you assume that deal is going to get done long term because you don't want to.
You have to.
Pay
him.
Yeah, that deal's got to get done in the next week, Dave. They have to.
Because you can't have $19 million of this year's cap going to Leonard Williams. You can't do that.
No, you got to be able to shop at the expensive part of free agency, man. You got to go out there and get a number one wide receiver. Like, they have to do that.
But who is that guy outside of Galladay right now?
I mean, Dave,
Will Fuller's available,
yeah,
but
I don't trust Will Fuller. Curtis Samuel is out there. I don't really look at him as a number one wide receiver. Listen, Kenny Galladay is the guy, Dave. They call him Baby Megatron for a reason. Like, he's the guy. Go after him. Go get him.
He's exactly what Daniel Jones needs. Exactly.
They need a big body target outside the numbers, a guy that has that speed element. Kenny Galladay has that for the Giants.
Would be nice. Yeah. Let's get to a couple calls, and then we'll get to the Yankees in a moment. 800-919-3776. Functional phone lines today. So hop on board. Matt in Queens. Matt, you're first up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. Good morning, guys. Dave, I think I'm going to make you feel good, but then I got to kind of give you a little dose of reality.
Oh, boy. Here
we go. You know, I'm looking at the pictures, you know, I found them on Google, and I assume your wedding picture is the black and white one where you're on the left side and you're wearing the flower, the boutonniere.
Yeah,
no, that's actually Sherry.
You got confused which one was me.
That's Sherry on the left
Sherry
side
in that one with the beard.
Well, I mean, it's my left. I mean, it's right.
Well, it's everyone's left.
Anyway,
it's everyone's left.
Anyway,
Matt,
the point is, I would say in that picture, you look like a very handsome couple. As a matter of fact, I would even go so far as to say that. I mean, Sherry is very attractive, yes, but you're a handsome-looking guy in that picture.
Yeah, handsome.
And I wouldn't say that she's, like, that far up above you, but here's the issue, and I'm sorry I got to say it. As time has gone on, and now you look at you and Sherry, it's much more like, wow, Dave, you really got lucky.
Well, he's happy. That's what happens, though, Matt. You know what happens when you get happy and you're comfortable in the relationship. You tend to let yourself go. Giants haven't been good, so Dave kind of lets himself go. He's not really interested in working out anymore. Pandemic.
I'm going to send out another picture.
Give me another one.
I'm going to send in another one, a much more recent one where I think I look terrific as well.
And people should understand this, though, too, Dave. Your nickname in high school was Girth Brooks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that has to also – I mean, that comes into account here. You're a width guy.
Well, big into the width. Big into the width. Troy in South Carolina. Good morning, Troy. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
First of all, some hockey news, because apparently nobody cares.
I care about hockey.
Come on, Troy. I mentioned the score, Troy.
I'm with you. This is why I'm calling. Well, it's one of the reasons I'm calling.
Hockey's fun.
The Islanders best the Bruins in a 2-1 shootout. They're 6th straight win, right, Ricky?
The Bruins can't beat them, bro. And the Islanders don't lose at home.
Here we go.
That's too much hockey, though, Troy. Pull it back. That's too much hockey. Pull it back.
You got to go all the way down to the bottom of the ESPN app, by the way. I mean, all the way down.
Not for long.
Yeah, you say not for long. I mean, wouldn't yesterday when it gets announced that ESPN does a 7-year deal with the NHL that you may like open up SportsCenter just to tease us with some NHL highlights? No,
Dave, don't you have a Saturday show with hockey?
Oh yeah, it's a big Saturday show.
It's
with
an abomination,
hockey.
Troy. Abomination.
We're efforting the great Barry Beck for this Saturday.
Great.
Oh, yeah.
Here's my question: how did you get that show? and not.
Well, you know what? It was all encompassing.
Because he has friends that pay for it.
Hockey knowledge, true radio professional, willing to host a show on a Saturday, and I was the guy.
Go with it.
Let's do that hockey.
I heard, I got a little rumor, I can't tell you who. Somebody is back in town, Rick Pitino, and you said earlier, who's luckier than me? It could be Rick Pitino upstairs finishing lap two with Sherry. I don't know.
That would be terrible. All right, but I don't worry.
That's
especially
a shot.
How quick lap one was.
I don't worry, Troy. It's very nice. Whoa. But I have no concerns.
You get Dave in the bedroom, he's like Usain Bolt. Yada dee, yada do. Thanks for coming.
No. You get me in the bedroom and you're looking like a Alberto Salazar. What do they call him, the marathon man? Is that what?
Oh, just a melted candle.
Is that what he was called?
I hope you keep your clothes on.
Oh,
lights off.
My gosh.
No. I
are, you a lights, are you a lights on guy or lights off
no.
guy? No. On or off? Lights on or off?
Whatever.
I like the lights on.
Yeah, me too.
Whatever.
More light, the better.
You want to see everything
Why
going
do you
on,
care
huh?
Yes. What I'm wearing.
Well, I mean, I have no choice now. I got to do the weird hiding in different places now.
where do you want to go? Under the bed?
Yeah, pantry, you name it.
The pantry? With the Cheerios?
Yeah, well, I mean, with all the stuff in there.
With the dried goods? Really?
The dried goods, some dried. Well, you know how I am with the dried fruit game. I mean, I'm top of the dried
now,
fruit game.
Now, you know, the nice thing is you're like Costanza. Like, you get going, and then you're like, ooh. Apricots.
Have a little snack.
Here we go.
Some dried mango.
Can I interest you in a hammer, saw, maybe pear, maybe not. I'm not sure.
Can I interest you in a
multiple cream cheeses?
Some trail mix.
Some trail mix.
Love bacon. Double stuff Oreo.
Oh,
anybody?
Man.
I do
he
like
gave
the
it
Oreo.
To me quickly, so I was very appreciative of that.
I still. My favorite drop of Dave Rothenberg, we got somebody, I mean, RJ's doing a great job with all the drops, still to this day is, I don't want to give her the meat. I don't want to give the meat. Give up the meat.
Give up the meat, yeah.
And that's my kind of party. Those are my two favorites. I could list, I want those on my phone when my phone rings.
Like that kind of party?
That's your favorite, isn't it?
I don't want to give up the meat.
Which one do you like better?
I think I like party. I think just how you
like that kind of party.
That is hilarious.
I don't want to give up the meat.
They're both good, though.
That is hilarious.
They're both very, very good. Let's go quickly to Charlie in Brooklyn. Oh. Charlie, you're next up on 98.7.
Hello.
Good morning,
Charlie. What's up?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Good. I think we should keep Sam Darnold this year. One more year. We got 77 in cap space. Get everybody you need, and I think if you give this kid all the weapons he needs, I think he's going to shine. The kid had nothing for 3 years.
That's a risk, Charlie, though. I mean, again, we don't – here. I mean, I would have to sit down with Sam, and I'm sure the coaching staff is going to sit down with Sam and see where he's at mentally. I mean, you've seen how quickly things can fall apart for a quarterback that mentally doesn't have confidence. Look what happens to Carson Wentz, and he played at an MVP level.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he just couldn't do it anymore. He needed to change his scenery. I would say this. I like Sam a lot. And I think it's in Sam's best interest to move on and go somewhere else and have a fresh start.
Yeah, because you know Sam is not going to get the benefit of the doubt. There is no margin for error anymore with the Jets fans. Like Sam has got to produce, and if he's not a really good quarterback this year, then I think that you know there's it's going to put him and the organization in a tough spot. And I guess my only thing is this: if Sam Darnold proves not to be your guy in 2021, where's your next quarterback coming from? That's the part of it
idea.
That scares the hell out of me for the Jets.
And it should. All right, this Hoops update brought to you by Wendy's. Wendy's, where quality is our recipe. Wendy's, we got you. Gonzaga finishes the regular season undefeated. They win the West Coast Conference Championship over BYU last night, overcoming a double-digit deficit. not easy to say. At the half. Today, a full slate of college games, conference tournaments, ACC, Big East, 3 o'clock, Marquette, Georgetown, at the Garden. The Golden Eagles, 3.5-point favorites in that one.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.